struggle to obey your commands. Choices I make each day determine if I'll obey and follow you, trusting you. To live my life to honor you, Lord, keep my focus on you.
Trials around me, Lord, I cry in despair.
Though I know you're with me and you hear every prayer,
open my eyes to see that you know what's best for me. You're ever near, calm my fear. This is my plea.
Trusting you to live my life, to honor you, Lord, keep my focus on you.
Humbly I follow you, sharing your word, praising you, Lord Jesus, for your love. A shining light, burning bright, your plan fulfill. Lord, keep my focus on you each day. Though I am tempted to go my own way, help me to trust in you, to live my life to honor you, Lord. Keep my focus on you, Lord. Keep my focus on you.
Amen. What a blessing. Thank you for that song. Let us take the Word of God this morning. We will go to Genesis chapter number 15. Genesis chapter 15, and once again, it's good to be back here. I enjoyed preaching last week for Brother Stevenson, and it was a great time. I will tell you this, as we turn there to Genesis chapter 15, Tuesday morning, Aaron and Josh Pate showed up for the chapel service where I was preaching, and of course, that's Brother Stevenson's college, and it was Brother Pate's college as well, so they were glad to see them. And it's always good for any college to see someone that has been faithfully serving the Lord, and they come back, you know, and they asked Brother Stevenson to pray before I preached. Well, if you've ever noticed, I never asked Brother Stevenson to do this, but he always prayed. He would pray, "Lord, bless my pastor," is what he would say. Well, he was praying, and he began to pray. He said, "Lord, bless my," and then he stopped and said, "Bless Pastor Samples." And so I'm about to cry on the platform. My wife's crying, and now I'm supposed to try to preach again, you know. And so, but we're thankful for the time that we had with them. They're doing well, and I know the Lord will use them in a special way. Well, our theme for this year is wait on the Lord. And waiting on God is not just a specific amount of time that we are to wait. God does have a set time that He brings things to pass. In fact, throughout Scripture, you will find that the Bible talks about the Lord Jesus was born right on time. In fact, we're going to study here today about Abraham and his wife, Sarah, that God brought them a child at the right time. God was not late. But why is it that sometimes it seems that God waits? And that's what I'm going to preach to you on this morning. Why does God wait? Why does He wait? We pick up our story in Genesis chapter number 15. Now, you're going to have to stay with me this morning because we're going to go to chapter 15, chapter 16, and then we will end in chapter 21 because I want you to see the main focus of Abraham and Sarah. Now, they were childless, and yet God had promised Abraham that He would bless him with generations upon generations, but that's impossible without a child. Look what the Bible tells us in Genesis chapter 15 and verse number 1. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus." And Abram said, "Behold, to me thou hast given no seed. And lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and said, Look now toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be. And he, speaking of Abraham, believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Now let's go, if you would please, to chapter 16. Now please understand, between chapter 15 and chapter 16 are 10 years. God promised Abram that He would give him a child. God said, "Abram, I'm going to give you, it's going to be as the sand of the sea." And yet 10 years pass. Guess what? No child. Why does God wait? Have you ever wondered that before? I prayed about this a long time, Pastor. Why has God not answered my prayer yet? Pastor, I've been waiting on God to work this thing, but why does God wait? Well, we pick up in chapter 16. The Bible says, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children. And she had a handmaid, an Egyptian, whose name was Hagar. And Sarai said unto Abram, Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may obtain children by her." And Abram, this is a sad thing, but he did not live by faith. He hearkened to the voice of Sarai. In verse 3, "And Sarai, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian. After Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband Abram to be his wife." Now, if you know anything about the story, you will know that a child was born. His name was Ishmael. And by the way, can I tell you, we've had trouble with the line of Ishmael since this day. It's been a problem ever since. Because this was not God's design. Abram did not wait on God. Now let's just be honest today. 10 years? A decade of a promise? They knew the promise of God. They knew what God had given them. And God said, "I will give you a child." And yet 10 years later, no answer. And by the way, so often when we are waiting on God, we are waiting months after months, maybe even years after years. We can become impatient. And by the way, it is dangerous not to wait on God. Brethren, can I tell you something? It is dangerous to take matters into your own hands and not wait on God. We find the story here. And by the way, would you notice Sarai's attitude? Will you notice her thinking? And it is evidence of their lack of faith in God. Verse number 2 of Genesis chapter 16. And Sarai said unto Abram, "Behold now, the Lord hath restrained me from bearing." Do you understand that what she is saying here is really unbelief? And it is also an accusation against God that God has kept me from having children. God has restrained me from bearing. It's almost as if Sarai is saying, something's wrong with God. God's kept me from bearing. I know what God promised, but I'm not bearing a child. And no doubt, in her mind, she's thinking, I'm getting older. There's no way I'm going to get to the place where I will not be able to bear children. What is God doing? So guess what? Sarai came up with a plan. She had a scheme on how to help God keep His promise. Brethren, we are the same often in life, to where we do not wait on the Lord. We do not trust God. We do not wait for His timing. And we do not wait for His clear direction in life. And when that happens, sad consequences are the result. Abram did not wait on God. By the way, can I tell you something this morning? Our hearts prefer pretty much anything rather than waiting. By the way, have you ever had to wait somewhere before? You ever have to? By the way, do you know that much of life is waiting? You go to the doctor and guess what? You have to wait. You are sitting at a red light. You have to wait. You order your food and you have to wait. You're waiting to hear back from the doctor. You're waiting for this to happen. You're waiting for these things to take place. Much of life is waiting. But I want you to hear me out. Waiting on God is not wasted time. It's not wasted. And Abraham and Sarah here, I mean, they're getting up in age and 10 years and the promise has not come. And yet they come up with a scheme. They come up with a plan rather than waiting on God. And I'll tell you what often happens in our life. We get tired of praying. We get tired of trusting. We get tired of faith in God. And then we turn to schemes. We turn to our own resources. We turn to anything rather than the patience of faith in waiting on God. In fact, you know what Sarah, what she was really saying? The Lord has failed me. And it may be that this Egyptian may be a resource for me. So instead of waiting on God, I'm going to turn to this. And Abram followed. He hearkened to the voice of Sarai. Abram should have said, now wait a minute, honey. Wait a minute, God gave me His word, and I believe that God will keep His word. And let us trust God. Let us wait on God. In fact, we know from this story that from the time that God promised Abram and Sarai that they would have a child, that it would be 25 years. That is a long time to wait on God. But brethren, let us understand that it is a bitter thing to take ourselves out of the place of absolute dependence upon God because the consequences are disastrous in our lives. Look here, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but I'll raise my hand today. That there have been times in life when I should have waited on God and instead I ran ahead of God. I've done it. There's been times when I should have not spoken that word and waited on God. And guess what? I made a mess of things and I had to learn from that. Listen, all of us understand that life often is waiting, but let us turn to waiting upon the Lord. And by the way, you know what? When we don't wait on God, it is a sign of our unbelief. It's a sign of a lack of faith. We just don't want to trust the Lord. You see, unbelief only judges by the apparent success or failure of a situation. Unbelief is what we can see. You know what Abram and Sarah said? It doesn't seem that God is going to answer our prayer, so we've got to turn to another resource. That's what they said to us when we look on the circumstances. I mean, come on, it's been 10 years and there is no child. So it must be that we have to turn to another avenue, another resource to get our answer to prayer. Brethren, today, why does God wait? In fact, let us understand that God does wait. In fact, I'm going to preach probably next week on Isaiah chapter 30 and verse 18, where it says, "The Lord waits to be gracious to us." Do you know that God does wait, but it's not wasteful? Now, I'll be honest, my natural inclination is that I hate to wait. Like, by the way, have you ever been at a red light and someone's in front of you and the light turns green and they don't go immediately? How many of you that really bothers you? Would you raise your hand? It bothers me because I think in that next moment, in 2 seconds, you should be up to 50 miles an hour, all right? I mean, come on, let's go. Let's go. The light is green. It's time to go. And you know what? I'm sad to say, but sometimes I'm like, you know, kind of honk my horn a little bit. Hey, buddy, watch out and go, you know? Because we just don't want to wait, do we? I'm like, man, I got places to go. I got things to do. But brethren, God in our waiting is working. We often think that waiting is wasteful. But let us remember that God is working. He's working in our lives. He is working in the lives of other people. God is working. There is a plan. And God is not late in our lives. He is at work. In fact, we see that Abram and Sarai had unbelief. And the root of all unbelief begins in the lie that God has failed us in some way. By the way, do you think this morning that maybe God has failed you? Maybe God has not been as good to you as He could have been. Then can I tell you where that comes from? It comes from unbelief in the goodness of God and the plan of God. God often waits. But why does He wait? Number one, this morning, why does God wait? He waits, number one, to reveal His miraculous power. Do you know that often God waits to show Himself in a greater way in our life than what we could ever imagine? Now, please understand this. Abraham was old and Sarah was barren. But this was no difficulty too hard for God. You see, Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 17 says, "Ah, Lord God, behold, Thou hast made the heaven and the earth by Thy great power and stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for Thee." Brethren, no matter what is going on in your life, and it may seem that God is distant and that God does not care and that you have been praying about something so long that you almost are afraid to keep praying about it. Maybe you almost think God's not going to hear my prayer and God is not going to answer my prayer. Let us wait on God because He is working to prove and to reveal His miraculous power. Take your Bibles and let's go to John, if you would please, in the Gospel, John chapter number 9. Because all throughout Scripture, we find that God often waits to reveal His miraculous power. You know the story in the Gospels where Lazarus was sick. Lazarus was a friend of Jesus. This was the brother of Mary and Martha. You know the story, and someone sent to Jesus and they said, "Jesus, Lazarus is sick, come now." Why? Because we want you to heal Lazarus. And do you know what the Bible tells us? That Jesus tarried. When I read that, I'm like, "Oh, Lord, I don't understand that." I mean, let's be honest. I would say, "Jesus, the messenger came. We need to go because he is sick." But Jesus waited on purpose. You say, waited for what? Waited for Lazarus to die. He waited for the death. And when Jesus got there, do you remember what Martha said to him? "Lord, if thou hadst been here, my brother had not died." There's the accusation. It almost sounds like Sarah. "The Lord hath restrained me from bearing." And Martha does the same thing when she says, "Lord, if you had been here, this wouldn't have happened." By the way, how often in our hearts and minds we think, "God, if you wouldn't have allowed this, this would have never ended up into this mess. Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And you know what Jesus said? Jesus looked at them. Jesus tarried on purpose. He wanted to show them His miraculous power. And He raised Lazarus from the dead. Brethren, it's one thing to heal the sick, but it's quite another thing to raise the dead. And Jesus had power to do both. You see, in our lives, sometimes God lets things die. You ever had hopes die? You ever had dreams die? And by the way, I think that it is important for us to get to the place in life where we die to our own selfish ways and our selfish desires, and we just surrender to whatever God wants for us. That's what God did to Abraham and Sarah. Can I tell you this? God waited to show His miraculous power, because if Abram and Sarah had had a child in their prime of life, that would have been wonderful, but that was no miracle. But to have a child in their age, that was a miracle. Can I tell you what God waited? God waited for her womb to die. God waited for all natural physical resources to die to prove His mighty power. In John chapter 9, look in verse number 1. And as Jesus passed by, He saw a man which was blind from his birth. And His disciples asked Him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Is that not what we often do? Lord, something's not right. Who sinned? Lord, this is a mess. But look in verse 3. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God said, I let this boy have blindness to show my miraculous power. Brethren, let's understand something in life. God waits to reveal His power. God waits to answer our prayers in a way that we never dreamed would even be possible. He waits to be gracious to us. He waits to reveal His power. In fact, we understand something. Do you know that God changed Abram's name to Abraham way before Isaac was ever born? I love that. God said, I'm making you the father of many nations, a father of a multitude, before you have any children, because God was going to keep His word. In fact, the birth of Isaac reminds us that God will always keep His word. In fact, do you know something? Isaac's birth was just a step forward in accomplishing God's purpose. Well, what was God's eternal purpose? The future redemption of a lost world rested literally on Isaac. Because can I tell you, Isaac would beget Jacob, and Jacob would give the world the 12 tribes of Israel, and from Israel the promised Messiah would be born. Brethren, sometimes we look at something and we think, Lord, I don't like this situation. This is uncomfortable. This is not what I want. And we are frustrated about that. But God has a bigger plan in mind. There's something bigger that God is doing. We often cannot see the work of God. We think some things are, Lord, this doesn't make any sense. Lord, why are you making me wait? Lord, why are things this way? Because God has a purpose and He wants to reveal His miraculous power. Folks, wait on Him. Trust Him and let God work. So why does He wait? To reveal His miraculous power. Number two, to remind us of our sufficiency. Let's take our Bibles and go to 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, and I want you to see something. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3. Abram and Sarah needed to come to the end of themselves in order for Isaac to be born. That which was dead must be made alive again. You see, Abram and Sarah, when they concocted this plan, and Sarai, and by the way, this may sound a little strange, but in the day in which Abraham and Sarah lived, it was very common for a man to have many wives. Now, by the way, God never approved of that. Never in Scripture. And so when Sarai gave Abraham this Egyptian to wife and to bear children through him, that was very acceptable in that day, although not acceptable to God. So it may sound strange to read it, but in that culture, it was what was done. But it was not acceptable in the eyes of God, because in this case, it was a matter of unbelief. It was a matter of them taking matters in their own hands. We're going to fix this. I mean, we need a child, and this is the only way that we can see that this can work. So they schemed and they concocted this, and guess what? That was not God's plan. In fact, do you know often in life what we try to do in life? We try to work our own plans and our own resources because we think we are sufficient. We kind of have our own ideals, and this is how it's going to work, and this is what I'm going to do. Brethren, waiting on God is waiting for God to lead. It is waiting for God's timing and God's direction to get the mind of the Lord about something. That is waiting on God. But we don't live like that often. We think, no, this is what I want, and I want it now, and this is how I'm going to do it, and that's how we come up with it. But waiting on God is not only, why does God wait? To reveal His miraculous power, but to remind us of our sufficiency. Brethren, can I tell you something? We are not sufficient. We need a Savior today. 2 Corinthians chapter number 3, look what it says in verse number 4. It says, and such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. Now, Paul here told the church, we're not sufficient. Our sufficiency is of God. Listen, you and I cannot make it in this life without the help and the guidance and the direction of our God. But you know what? Everything within our nature goes against that. We want to be sufficient. You know, often people talk about a self-made man, and this is a man that, you know, he's really made something of himself. Brethren, I'll tell you something. If we enjoy any type of success, it's because of what God has done in our life. Our sufficiency is of God. And here, Abram and Sarah thought they were sufficient. We've got the answer. We need a child. So here is Hagar. And this is not God's plan, but this is our scheme. This is sufficient. This is our resource. Brethren, they had to come to the end of themselves. I believe Abram and Sarah came to the place where they said, we're done with trying to tell God how to be God. By the way, we're good at that, are we not? We kind of come up with, God needs to do this. And that's almost how we pray. God, you need to do this because this is uncomfortable. And Lord, this is how you should work. Brethren, we are not God. And we must understand that our sufficiency is of God. By the way, in fact, the Bible tells us in John chapter 15, He said, for without me, ye can do what? Nothing. We can do nothing of eternal significance without God. And brethren, if we live in self-dependence and self-preservation and self-promotion, and we're all about our plans and our dreams and our desires, well, let me tell you something, that way does not work. It doesn't work. In fact, what does Isaiah tell us? God says, my thoughts are not your thoughts, and my ways are not your ways, saith the Lord. Listen, I have lived long enough as a Christian to understand that a lot of things that I thought God should have done, God didn't do, and I'm grateful He didn't do it the way I thought He should have done it. Have you ever prayed something before, and now you look back on it, and you're glad God didn't answer that prayer? How many would raise your hand? Yes, because guess what? Often, we don't know the mind of God. We often think we're sufficient. And brethren, I'm going to tell you something. We can make a mess of our lives if we do not wait on God. In fact, think of the matter of salvation just for a moment. If you are endeavoring through human means to get to heaven, then you're going to die in your sins and spend eternity separated from God. You will go to a place called hell. If you are trying to get to heaven in your own means. In fact, how much of self-dependence does it take in the matter of salvation for someone to be lost? Any amount of self-dependence. Listen, if I am trusting that I'm a pastor in order to get me to heaven, then guess what? Then I will not go to heaven if I'm trusting in my being a pastor. If I'm trusting that I got baptized one day, then can I tell you something? That's not going to get me to heaven, because it's all of Jesus. He is my only resource. I have no other way. I cannot pay for my sin debt. I cannot earn my way to heaven. I am trusting Jesus and what He did for me on the cross of Calvary. That's it. He died for me. He rose again for me. And I'm trusting in His work to go to heaven. But let me bring it to you this way. What about our own Christian lives? Brethren, if you are trusting yourself in any way to live the Christian life, then let me tell you something. You will fail in that self-dependence. But here's what we often do. We get saved by grace. That means it was not of our work. In fact, the Bible says it's not of works, lest any man should boast. And then we think, okay, Lord, thank you for saving me. Now I'm going to work really hard to be a good Christian. Well, you can't do it. It's impossible. Now, that doesn't mean that we are to be passive. It doesn't mean that we're to be lazy or slothful as a Christian. But what it means is that we have to continually, day by day, moment by moment, live in dependence on Jesus Christ, because He is our only resource. Listen, every one of us here today, we are broken people, are we not? We are broken because of our own sin and broken because of sin done to us. We're broken individuals. And can I tell you, we need a great physician, and His name is Jesus Christ. He is the only resource for us. And here, Abraham and Sarah had to come to the place to where in their own strength they had died. And by the way, they were trying to do this in their own strength. They had a plan. I mean, hey, listen, we've got to do this because soon I'm not going to be able to bear children naturally. And so we need to turn to this resource so that we can bear children. And that was a mistake, not to wait on God. God knew what He was doing, and He had a set time. And by the way, let me tell you this. God doesn't tell us the set time. We have to wait and trust. What if God had told Abraham and Sarah, hey, it's going to be 25 years. You know, that would almost seem easier, would it not? Lord, okay, you said 25 years, so we've done 1 year, so we got to wait to another. No, it was a matter of faith. And yet they came to the place to where they had to die to all of that before God could do His wonderful work. Why does God wait? Well, He waits to reveal His mighty power. But secondly, God waits to remind us of our resource. But number three, the last thing, God waits to remove our confidence in our flesh. Take your Bibles, go to Philippians chapter number 3. You're there in the book of 2 Corinthians. Would you go to Philippians chapter number 3? Now, I want you to see something that is given to us in the Bible. Philippians chapter 3, we begin in verse number 1 in just a moment. Now, we know that Ishmael was born. And by the way, Abram loved that boy. Abram wanted Ishmael to be the chosen seed. In fact, he prayed that God would bless him. And God did. But Ishmael is a wonderful picture of our flesh. And can I tell you what Isaac is a great picture of? It is a picture of our spirit. Now, brethren, understand something, that when you are born in this world, you have a natural, unconverted flesh. What's the flesh? Well, the flesh, it does the works of the flesh. The Bible talks about that, which are manifest, which are these. And it goes through that long list of what looks like America's top 10 wanted, all right? That's your flesh, and that's my flesh. Ishmael was a product of man's doing. That was the flesh. Isaac was a miracle. Isaac was something that God did. I mean, listen, Abraham and Sarah, physically speaking, it was impossible for them to have a child. I mean, Abram, 100 years old, and Sarai, 90 years old. I mean, think about that just for a minute. That was impossible. So it's a great picture of the flesh and the spirit. So why does God wait to often remove our confidence in the flesh? There are many of us today that we have such confidence in the flesh that hinders our Christian life. Philippians chapter 3, look what the Bible says in verse number 1. It says, finally, my brethren, rejoice in the Lord. to write the same things to you, to me indeed is not grievous, but for you it is safe. Beware of dogs. Beware of evil workers. Beware of the concision. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus. And look at this. And have no confidence in the flesh. You know what Paul said? Paul said, I know what it is to have confidence in the flesh. By the way, why does Paul say that he can have confidence in the flesh? Let's read on. Look what he says in verse 4. Though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof he might trust in the flesh, I more, circumcised the 8th day of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Do you know what Paul was saying? Listen, if anybody could ever have confidence in the flesh, I'm at the top. I mean, Paul was trained like no other man was trained. Paul had his family, I mean, his heritage, all of that. Paul was a man that could have trusted in his flesh. And there are many Christians today, they don't like to wait on God because they've got it figured out. They have confidence in the flesh. Now, getting back to this illustration, Ishmael is a picture of the flesh. Isaac is a picture of the spirit. Every child of God in here, you still have that old flesh. It's there. And by the way, it never gets better. You're never going to lose that flesh. But guess what? The day that you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, Christ in you came to indwell in you. It's called the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God indwells you today. And guess what? Now there is a battle. By the way, do you know that Ishmael, when Ishmael was just the only one, there was no problems. But the moment Isaac was born, now there's trouble. Now there's problem. I had a man tell me years ago, he said, Preacher, before I got saved, I didn't have too many problems. But now that I got saved, there's a war going on. I said, yes, that's the Christian life. It's a warfare. And by the way, brethren, let us understand. Let's go back to Galatians chapter number 4, because I want you to see something. Galatians chapter 4, and let's look in verse number 28. Now, Ishmael and Isaac represent that the believer has the flesh and the spirit. You know, before I got saved, before I put my faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, it was evident that I just lived according to my flesh. The flesh was in control. But when I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, the Spirit came to indwell me. Now I have a choice. I can choose to yield to the flesh and live like that, or I can surrender to the Spirit. And Ishmael and Isaac are a great picture. Ephesians chapter 4, and let's look in these verses here that we find. Ephesians chapter number 4, Galatians chapter 4 and verse number 28. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 28. The Bible says this, Now we brethren, as Isaac was, are the children of promise. Is that not interesting? Verse number 29, But as then he that was born after the flesh persecuted him that was born after the Spirit, even so it is now. Nevertheless, what saith the Scripture? Cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again, the Bible says, with the yoke of bondage. Now, is it not interesting that we have a New Testament passage that goes all the way back and talks about in the very beginning in the book of Genesis? Because Paul is saying to us, hey, listen, the Ishmael The flesh, we all have that. That's the son of the bondwoman. That was not God's ideal. That is of the flesh and the works of the flesh. That's what's going to come from that. But the child of Abraham and Sarah, Isaac, this miracle. And by the way, God giving us the Holy Spirit at our moment of salvation is a miracle. And the Spirit of God indwells us. And can I tell you something? That's how we can live in liberty. That's how we can live in freedom. It does not mean that we will be sinless. We understand that. But it means that we can live victorious. And that's why Paul says, stand fast, therefore. You do not have to live according to the works of the flesh. You can live in the Spirit and walk in victory. Brethren, if we have confidence in the flesh, we're going to live defeated lives. I think there are many Christians today that really, they're miserable as Christians. You know why they're miserable? Because the flesh, guess what the flesh does? The Ishmael always persecuted Isaac. And it's still to this very day. And you know what Ishmael? Ishmael wanted nothing to do with Isaac. Ishmael and the flesh is always going against our spirit. So if we yield to the Spirit, and the Bible says we cast out the bondwoman and her son, we'll never get rid of the flesh. It's always going to be there, but we do not have to surrender to the flesh. We do not have to live according to the works of the flesh. Isaac was born of the Spirit because the time his parents were both dead and only God's power could bring about the birth of Isaac. Brethren, our salvation is a miracle, but living for Jesus Christ is a miracle that God enables us day by day. Listen, my resource is not in what I can do. It's not in what I can figure out. My resource is in Christ. Now, brethren, I want you to think about this. Please understand that God often causes us to wait. Let me say this to you in closing here today. Abraham, God sent him, in a sense, into the wilderness of waiting. For 25 years, Abraham had to wait. Waiting was a part of God's good plan for Abraham, and so it is with us. By the way, can I simply tell you this? Like father, like sons, we are often the children, and we're like our father Abraham. We have to wait. Perhaps with David, we sit in some spiritual pit waiting for God to draw us out, as we find in Psalm chapter 40. Or maybe with Jeremiah, we lie in the ruin of our own making, waiting for God to rescue and waiting for God to redeem. Either way, often in life, we have asked, but we have not yet received. Can I just tell you, as your pastor, there have been things that I prayed for a long time, and guess what? I'm still waiting. I'm waiting on God. Am I tempted to do it in my own strength? Yes. Am I tempted to go, in a sense, to use the resource like Hagar? Hagar is always available. That resource. That's the works of the flesh. That's not trusting God. That's living a life of unbelief and a life that we're going to do it our way. But guess what? Hagar, that always brings about a lot of consequences. Can you imagine? I believe Abraham looked back on that and said, "Dear God, I wish that I would have waited on you." But Abram did not wait on God. Brethren, if you are in a position of waiting right now, waiting is not a time of waste. And if God's providence requires you to wait, then today, let's remind our heart that much good can come from waiting on God. Why does God wait? Well, He waits to show you His power. To show you, reveal His wonderful power. But He waits to remind us our resource, our sufficiency is in God. And He waits to remove our confidence in the flesh. I believe this. I believe the longer we live here on this earth, and the more that we grow closer to Jesus Christ, it's not going to be more dependence on self. It's going to be more dependence on Him. It's not going to be that we have all the answers. It's going to be that Jesus has all the answers. And brethren, may God help us. If God is waiting, then trust Him. Now let me tell you what the Lord does not wait. Brethren, if you're here today and you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, then you know what He has said? Today is the day of salvation. Today is the moment. Jesus is waiting for you to turn to Him in faith, and He will forgive you and cleanse you. If you're away from God this morning, then Jesus is waiting for you to turn to Him, for He is there, ready and willing to cleanse and to forgive. But if there are things in your life today, can I encourage you? Wait on God. Wait on the Lord. Don't run to your own resources. Don't get ahead of the Lord. Wait on the Lord. And you know what that means? That means that we're going to pray. In prayer, I'm waiting on God. That means I'm going to get in His Word. And I'm going to get His Word in my heart because I'm waiting on God. Wait on the Lord. Why does God wait? Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.